We have joining us this afternoon Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins, and we're talking life and taxes. And with that, Andrew, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Lockwood.
And what's our topic for the day?
Well, Lockwood, we just had some proposed regulations that have been issued by the Internal Revenue Service, which are interpreting the Secure Act, which was passed back in 2019. And in particular, these proposed regulations deal with IRA distributions. So,
okay, I'm going to start with the Secure Act. A little background on that, if you would.
Yeah, so the Secure Act was passed during the COVID relief measures, and obviously we had to pay for some of the spending that was going on relative to what was proposed under the Secure Act. And so one of the ways that was paid for was they made significant changes to IRA distributions when a person dies. Mm-hmm. So before the rules were, and again, I'm going to be very general here, Lockwood, these rules are very particular, right. But in general, when an individual died with an IRA and left that IRA to his kids, the children could take that IRA out over what's called the stretch option. So okay. A lot of our listeners may be familiar with this, which was there's actuarial tables out there that say how long we're projected to live, mm-hmm. and that individual could take that IRA and then only had to take out a required minimum distribution based upon their life expectancy.
Gotcha.
So the benefit of this, Lockwood, is that IRA money could grow tax-free for a very, very long period of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if you had a 20-year-old child, you pass away, projected to live to be in the 80s. Right. I mean, you could technically take that money out a little bit over time for 60 years.
Right.
So very good, very good rules under this stretch option. It was a lot of talk with our clients where this is a way to basically have your retirement become your children's retirement.
Right.
So the stretch option was very good under the old rules. The problem is Secure Act changed that. And the Secure Act came in and it said inherited IRAs for children must be taken out over a 10-year period.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So all the practitioners read the language and it said within 10 years, the IRA must hit zero. Must hit a zero balance, mm-hmm. basically. So instead of stretching out over your lifetime, you stretch it out over 10 years. The interesting thing, Lockwood, is there was no required minimum distribution language in the Secure Act.
In other words, you could keep the money in the IRA until year 10 and then...
Okay. That's exactly right.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to slowly take it out over time because you could just wait till year 10 and take the full kit and caboodle.
Right.
But in this particular regard, we now have regulations. And the regulations say, well, the statute says one thing, but we're going to interpret that in another way. And the way that they've done that, Lockwood, now is to require required minimum distributions to be taken under that 10-year stretch option, 10-year plan that replaced the stretch option. So we have an interesting set of facts and circumstances and rules. And these are, again, proposed regulations that were just announced last week. And what happens, Lockwood, during this period is proposed regulations go to comment. So attorneys and CPAs and think tanks and everyone under the sun, policy-wise, can weigh in on what they think about these regulations. They're 275 pages. They deal with a lot of issues, but the main thing that we're focused in on is this change in the 10-year rule, because us as practitioners have had many a client sit in a seat and go, look, you've got 10 years to take this out. You can take zero in year one, zero in year two, all the way up and take it all out in year 10. And unfortunately, that now has changed if these regulations become final.
Okay, let me ask you on this one. Are you telling me that it's potentially going to be retroactive?
Yeah, so good question. These regulations would apply retroactively. Mm. So two options for the IRS in this regard. Number one, typically when we have practitioners who have read this and the statute looks pretty plain on its face, uh-huh. that says within 10 years this has to go to zero, right. So no required minimum distribution language. Normally in this regard, they'll do what's called a safe harbor, which basically says that, okay, no harm, no foul for the first 2 years, but right. you need to start doing it in year three. That wasn't in the regulations, but that's something that the IRS could issue, which is called a revenue procedure to say, here's how we're going to deal with these circumstances moving forward. Another option is that, look, if you're out there and you're hearing me right now, and you're in this boat and you say, hey, I've inherited an IRA. And I remember I'm taking this out over the 10-year period, and maybe I was taking a little bit out over time. A lot of people do that so they don't get hit with a big tax burden at year 10. Make sure that amount that you're taking out meets the required minimum distribution amount. If it doesn't, then maybe bump it up so it hits the required minimum distribution so you don't run afoul of these new potential rules. If you're not taking money out, you really have an option, which is roll the dice and see if they'll put in a safe harbor provision, or call your advisor and say, look, I heard Andrew Foster on the radio from Harvell and Collins. He told me that they're requiring required minimum distributions relative to this 10-year period of time. So maybe we need to think about taking the required minimum distribution just to be on the safe side.
Here's the other aspect of this, though, Andrew. Again, Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins, we're talking life and taxes, is the penalty associated with failing to take out your RMD. That's pretty...
50%. Could be up to 50%.
50% of the amount that was supposed to be taken out.
Correct.
Right. So in other words, So in essence, it works out to be... And that's the penalty.
Yes.
So if you were supposed to take out $10,000...
Penalty plus the tax. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
You're right. You're paying the tax on the required distribution, which, as we know, IRAs are pre-tax money, so when you pull that money out, it's taxable.
And it's taxable.
All right? So you have to pay the tax, so you put that amount in income, and then there would be a 50% penalty associated with not taking your required distribution at the time you're supposed to take it. I'm just telling you, Lockwood, as we sit here today, just because the whole tax practitioner industry, attorneys, CPAs, even financial advisors who advise on tax ramifications of this type of stuff, and IRA consequences. I mean, we were under this belief that you had the 10-year period. I just cannot see these regulations coming in and the IRS not either issuing a safe harbor or allowing you to double up. That might be what they decide to do. They say, look, first 2 years, no harm, no foul. But year three, you need to take not only your required minimum distribution for year three, but you need to take it for year two and year one all in one foul swoop.
The other aspect, historically, have you seen situations similar to this where they've introduced a change in midstream? You're shaking your head no.
Yes. I mean, the tax laws, as we know, is ever changing. So we historically get these tax extender bills at the end of a year. I mean, we've dealt with this on the show many times where what's happening in late December in Congress, are we going to be able to get a tax bill passed? Right. And then a lot of times it doesn't even pass till then. It goes till the first of the next year, and then they pass it retroactive to the prior year.
Right.
So we see this all the time in tax of we're guessing a little bit. And I mean, I'm guessing and making what I would consider to be a very educated guess because, good faith, Lockwood, has a lot to do with how this is done, which is, we were all acting in good faith based upon the actual statutory language, which, by the way, you start with the statute.
Mm-hmm.
The regulations are supposed to interpret the statute. But this interpretation seems to go against what's the black on the black letters of the statute, which is just completely interesting. So it's going to be telling. I mean, I think number one for the IRS, they could tweak the regulation and say, maybe this is just such gets everybody so up in arms that they just withdraw that part of the regulation before it goes final. Or I think in the alternative, they say the regulation stays, but we're going to do something for those first 2 years, 2019, 2020, 21, to make sure that you don't run into this problem of having to pay the tax plus the penalty for not taking that money out of that stretch of the 10-year option.
Okay. Right now, this is a proposal. Now, my question is, procedure for the proposal, what time frame are we working in? And based on that experience, is there, could it conceivably be delayed well past filing time?
Oh, yeah. It goes out for comment. So there's a comment period, 3 months, somewhere in that ballpark of comments to come in to see what everyone believes. I mean, you might remember... when we had proposed regulations regarding business valuations, and we talked about minority discounts and lack of marketability discounts and how the IRS was basically planning on scrapping all of those, just scrapping it completely and saying, we're going to go book value based upon what your closely held business is worth.
Right.
Those regulations were proposed regulations. It went for comment, and ultimately the IRS withdrew every single one of them. They withdrew every single regulation relative to that. Now, part of that, I'll just be honest with you, had to do with President Trump. He came in and said, for every regulation you pass, you got to take two regulations out of the till.
Right.
And those regulations were quite extensive. And because he passed that through executive order, that was a big influence probably on them scrapping that at that particular time. You know, now we have a situation where we don't have that executive order in place. So the question is, will these regulations make it through because the IRS believes this is their best effort at interpreting the statute that is the SECURE Act?
Okay, Andrew, this leads to the question I've been wanting to ask because I was reading stories earlier this week, and we've talked about this in the past, and that is the challenges that the IRS is currently facing on staffing. And I did see with interest a computer problem. And so how prepared is the IRS? And of course, there are different divisions. I understand that. But still, they're going to have to rely on services and departments to justify some of the responses or to answer some of the questions asked. So how prepared are they for that? And what are you telling your clients and what should we expect going forward in the coming tax filing year?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think we've talked about it before, how we know this year in particular, the IRS is already behind. They're in a hole. And so obviously encourage those individuals that needed refunds, get it filed early, make sure it's accurate, but you want to submit it as soon as possible.
And
so you
get
do it electronically. Don't paper file. Paper's the enemy. We've talked about that before for the IRS. They've made that statement. And get your stuff in as quickly as possible. If that's not possible, if you can't do that because either number one, you've got items that need to come in that come in later, and you can't get your filing made early in the filing season, then the best you can do, Lockwood, is get it submitted, as soon as possible. But make sure you have all the correct information and be prepared for possible delays. Be prepared that if you were planning on getting that refund back within 20 days or 21 days, which is what they shoot for, that might be a little bit too ambitious this particular year. And it's hard. I mean, it's difficult. And I think you're seeing, with this regulations under the SECURE Act relative to this 10-year period and RMDs, you're right. That's just one more thing that the service is going to have to deal with. And they are overwhelmed, I think, is probably the word I would use at the moment. And it's just one more thing to add to the mix that is going to be difficult for them, which may result in these proposed regulations being scrapped. I mean, it could result in that.
Or conceivably delayed. The problem is if they're delayed.
If they're delayed, and I think that's when we get into would the IRS in good faith release a revenue procedure to safe harbor or grandfather in those first couple of years of how practitioners treated the SECURE Act. So, the best advice to give clients is again, look at this, know this issue's out there.
Mm-hmm.
We now know it. There's proposed regulations. Look and see what you're taking out relative to your inherited IRAs under this 10-year period. And I would say rather be safe than sorry and take that required minimum distribution for 2021 to at least stop the bleeding, so to speak.
What is the current procedure, the calculus for determining the amount you should be taking out?
Yeah, good question. So that's where I think the devil's in the details a little bit, Lockwood. I mean, I could see it being either RMDs could be look at the account, divide it by 10, or it could be, again, they may say, well, we're used to doing this life expectancy stuff, so your RMD would be whatever your life expectancy is, that's what you need to take out relative to the RMD. And then whatever's left at the end of 10 years, you got to take that in one lump
okay,
sum.
Okay, and in essence, show good faith on your part that you are concerned about this.
Correct.
Okay. Andrew Foster with Harvell and Collins, Life and Taxes. And always to remind you, go to their website, harvellandcollins.com, or you can give them a call, 726-9050. Andrew, thanks very much.